Merry Christmas. Again, a warm good morning to you on this Boxing Day Sunday. It really is a joy to be here with you in person and for those of you who are able to join us on the live stream. I trust that your celebration of Christmas was meaningful and enjoyable, and it is really uplifting to be able to open God's Word with you this morning and worship and remember our Savior, Jesus Christ. Have you ever walked through a room at night without turning on the light? And did you walk into a table or bump into a chair or something else? And if you're a parent, we remember those pieces of Lego on the floor that we hit. Now, if you were to walk through that same room with a light on, for most of us, that would be no problem to navigate our way through. The light helps us to see, and Jesus is the light of the world. We don't have to walk in darkness. When we follow Jesus, we don't walk in darkness, but we can live in the light of His presence, and He truly can and will bring us from darkness to light. So that's what we will be looking at today, is darkness to light. When darkness comes over us like a heavy cloud, Jesus is the light, and He helps us to see what we are to do and where we are to go. But our problem is that deep darkness affects us spiritually and also in other ways. It can be mentally, emotionally, physically. We need the light of Jesus to shine in our hearts and in our souls so that we can experience the light-filled life. And I know in this room, those of you watching this on video, that you're experiencing some degree of darkness. I know that chronic pain, sickness, medical appointments coming up, there's mental strain, there's discouragement, anxiety, depression, maybe even despair. We can get emotionally drained, feeling lost and hopeless. And then there is spiritual darkness. Perhaps you don't have a right relationship with the Almighty God, and your sin keeps you in darkness. It weighs you down. But even as a Christian, you can be struggling with the weight of sin, and you need a fresh ray of light to pierce through the darkness in the shadows of your soul. Well, there is good news, because Jesus is the light of the world, and He can shine into your life today. And this is what we celebrate, Jesus born on Christmas, and what we have been celebrating. So as was mentioned already, we're going to be in the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope that you do, you can turn to Isaiah, chapter 9. We're going to focus on one verse together today, but throughout the message that I'll be giving, there will be lots of scripture shared from different parts of the Bible, and I trust that that would be an encouragement to you today. But let's read this verse, Isaiah 9, verse 2. It says this: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them light has, on them has light shone." So Isaiah 9, verse 2. These words recorded by the prophet Isaiah, they speak of the nation of Israel who were put into exile. So they weren't in their homes, they weren't in their land, they were far away, and it was because of their disobedience to God. But then fast forward 700 years later, these words written by Isaiah are again repeated by Matthew in the gospel, and they are words that speak about Jesus as the great light. And so Jesus is the deliverer who did come, and these words are repeated for us as Jesus starts His ministry on earth. Listen as I read these from Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17. This is what Matthew recorded. "Now when Jesus heard that John, that's John the Baptist, who is Jesus' cousin, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he, that's Jesus, withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. And this is recorded for us directly, a quote from Isaiah 9. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them light has dawned. And then Matthew writes this just after. He says, from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so again, this verse from Isaiah chapter 9 said, the people who walked in darkness, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. So the first thing to notice is the deep darkness. Empty, without light, aimless, wandering in the deep darkness. Now back in the 1990s, I started to be a camp ABK counselor. This is a cabin leader of 10 to 12 boys. I know many of you have experience being at camp. But at that time, and maybe still happens to some degree, is that in the late evening, after all the camp activities of the day, that the staff would go and hang out in the dining hall just before it was time to go to bed. And when it was time then for lights out and everybody's going back to their cabin, I would remember walking up and I'd be a counselor in cabin 7 or 8. And if people didn't leave the porch light on those cabins, it would be dark, especially between cabin 6 and 7. There was some trees on both sides, and that was dark. And sometimes the imagination can run a little bit wild, especially when you're living on a week where you don't sleep too much. And that to me, though, was physical darkness, being in the dark. But darkness is not just physical. The Bible would tell us that darkness is wickedness, is evil. We think of darkness as a picture of sin. In Proverbs 4:19, it says that the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. And so the humbling truth for us is that we are all by nature in darkness, that we were born with a sinful nature. It is in us to want to do wrong. And Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And King David, in his prayer of confession, in Psalm 51, he said this in verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time that my mother conceived me. This is not what the world says. The world would say we're pretty good people, but the Bible has something different to say. It says that we're actually sinful from birth. John 3, verse 19, starts this way, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light. And so people love darkness, these works of evil. People want to live for themselves rather than for the God who created them. And for those who reject God's free gift of eternal life through Jesus, they will forever remain in darkness. Further in John chapter 3, verse 36, it says that whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. It is those who do not obey the Son. It says in Jude chapter 1, verse 13, it says, for them, that gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. So this is deep darkness, the darkness of our own sinfulness. But in addition to that deep darkness of sin, when we're going through difficulty, we can feel like we're left in the dark. Where is God, it seems? It seems that he is absent when we are struggling. And so the Bible has a couple of accounts as examples that when Mary and Martha, their brother Lazarus, had died. And in John 11, they both say to Jesus on separate occasions, they say, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." They were feeling the darkness. But Jesus would then show the glory of who he is by raising Lazarus from the dead. And he said to Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though they die, will live. Whoever lives by believing in Jesus will never die." Even though we will die physically, but we will have life with the Lord forever. Another example, the Apostle Paul prayed that a thorn in his flesh would be removed. Now, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. It could have been some weakness that he had or difficulty he was facing. But he wrote, Paul, in 2 Corinthians 12, he said this, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord that he would take this away from me. But then the Lord said to Paul, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.'" And so even in the deep darkness, we could experience the glory of the Lord, or we will need to depend on his grace. But it is difficult, the things that we go through. It can be dark. There's no doubt about that. We can feel like King David in Psalm 23. He said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness." But God reminds us through his word that he is with us through whatever we face. And these encouraging words, again, David wrote these in Psalm 139, verses 11 and 12. He said, "If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you." God is present through our darkness, and he can be trusted. He is a light that shines in the darkness. So back to our verse for today, Isaiah 9:2. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." We've already seen that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the radiant Redeemer. And why radiant? Radiant is another word that describes shining brightly. Jesus is this great light. He is brilliantly glowing in all splendor. He's blazing in glory and in majesty. And for us, this radiant splendor is seen most clearly because he has redeemed us. So he is the radiant Redeemer. And this is good news for us, because it's by this news that we are saved, and it gives us eternal life. Jesus has bought us back from slavery to sin, from that darkness. He has freed us by his own death on the cross. The death that we deserve, Jesus took on the cross so that we could have life. And in our place, he did that. And it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, what has happened because of what Jesus did on the cross? Well, it says that we could be delivered from the domain of darkness and then transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is the Son, Jesus, our radiant Redeemer. Have you gone on a Christmas light tour this season? I know some of you probably have done that. Lots of good displays of light throughout our city. And our family does this tradition. We'll pile into our van and go around the city neighborhoods to see all these displays of light. There is a beauty and a radiance to light. That's why we go out to look at those lights around our city. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is Jesus, our radiant Redeemer. Now, in the New Testament, we get lots of pictures about Jesus and words that would describe who he is. But four chapters I want to highlight this morning as we take a little bit of a light tour through the Bible. But these chapters, John 1, Philippians 2, Colossians 1, and then Hebrews 1. If you want to know what the Bible has to say about Jesus in all of his glory as the God-man, then I would suggest that you look at these in particular. But let's take a light tour unlike any other as I just go through these chapters and highlight who Jesus is. So from John 1, Jesus is as the Word was with God and the Word was God. Jesus existed in the beginning with God. Jesus created all things. Jesus gave everything life that was created, and Jesus' life brought light to everyone. And Jesus' light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never put out that light. And then from Philippians 2, Jesus is God. Jesus set aside his divine privileges and took the humble position of a servant. Jesus died a criminal's death on the cross, and that was for us. But then Jesus was elevated to the highest place of honor. Jesus was given the name above all other names. Jesus, before him, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And then from Colossians 1, Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. Jesus existed before anything was created. Jesus is supreme over all creation. Jesus created everything. Everything was made by him and for him. Jesus holds all of creation together. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus, having the fullness of God living within him, made peace with everything through the blood of his cross. And then Hebrews 1, Jesus is the one through whom God now speaks in these last days. Jesus is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus expresses the very character of God. Jesus holds everything together by the mighty power of his words. And Jesus cleansed us from our sins and then sat down at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This is Jesus, our radiant Redeemer, and he deserves all of our worship, our praise, our adoration, our devotion every day of the year. He is the great light to pierce through the darkness that we've been living in. And so again, Isaiah 9:2, those people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. And so because of Jesus, our radiant Redeemer, we can participate in the light-filled life. Jesus is the light of the world, and we can live in the light of his glorious presence. He has saved us to be children of light when we are part of the family of God. Now, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and in chapter 5 of Ephesians, Paul, he describes those who are outside of the family of God. They live lives of impurity and immorality and of disobedience to God. But then starting in verse 8 of Ephesians 5, Paul declares this. He says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine, carefully find out what pleases the Lord." And so this light-filled life starts when we admit the darkness in our life. We confess our sin. We repent of our sin. We turn from our sin and we turn to God, putting our faith and our trust in our great Savior Jesus. And then we can walk as children of light, identifying with God and with his people. Now, Peter describes God's people in this way. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says this, "You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people that belong to God, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So we've been moved from darkness to light. God's children can live as people of light. This is the light-filled life. It's displayed by humble obedience to God's commands that we have been shown in his word, the Bible. It's marked by having hearts of thankfulness and gratitude, overflowing with love and generosity. This is what it means to have the light-filled life. And so today, again, I want to encourage you, have you been weighed down by darkness? We do have a gentle Savior, and we celebrate this time of Christmas that Jesus was born to save his people from their sin, from the darkness, to set his people free. In this world, we do live in a land of deep darkness, but our glorious and radiant Redeemer, Jesus, he has pierced through the darkness and the shadows to give us his light. And again, this doesn't mean that we won't experience some degree of darkness. We will, but we can live as children of light. And so my prayer for you is that through the darkness, you would turn your eyes upon Jesus. He is faithful no matter what you're going through. Now, when we come to our time of singing a little bit later in our service, we're going to sing part of the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And this song was written by Helen Lemmel about 100 years ago now. And I read an interesting blog about just where this song came from. Just really meaningful words that I'm sure many of us would know here. But this song was inspired by the life of another lady named Lilias Trotter, and she was a missionary. And she wrote a poem, and based on that poem, this song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," was written. And so this lady, Lilias Trotter, she was originally from London, England, and she was an aspiring artist. But though she loved art, she felt a call from God to reach out to people who didn't know Jesus. And so she did that in London, but then she also went to Northern Africa and to the country of Algeria. And responding to this call, it came at great cost for her. Lilias gave up her promising career as an artist, and then even wanting to go on mission to Algeria, there were no mission agencies that wanted to support her or send her, but that didn't put her off. She decided to still go to Africa by herself, and she lived among the people there in the hiddenness of the desert for 40 years. And there, she knew what it was like to be emptied of every distraction to focus upon the face of Jesus. She had laid down her life for that purpose. And there on the mission field, she wrote this poem that later would inspire the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And Helen Lemmel, she read a pamphlet that somebody had given her with this poem in it, written by Lilias. And this poem written by Lilias Trotter, it's entitled "Focused, A Song and a Story." And these are a few words from that poem. It says, "Turn full your soul's vision to Jesus and look at him. And a strange dimness will come over all that is apart from him. And the divine attraction by which God's saints are made, even in this 20th century, and we can say now in the 21st century, will lay hold of you. For he is worthy to have all there is to be had in the heart that he has died to win. Turn full your soul's vision to Jesus." So are you weary or troubled this morning? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Are you struggling with the guilt and the shame of your sin? Then turn your eyes upon Jesus? And are you resting and content in the faithfulness of our Savior? Then I would tell you to continue to turn your eyes upon Jesus. And if you need to talk to someone, then I would encourage you to talk to somebody here at Bethel's leadership or a ministry leader. We can also connect you with somebody who will listen and care for you with the love of Jesus. Jesus shines to bring us from darkness to light. And we remember his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and one day his return for his people. And he will take us home to be with himself. Now, further in Isaiah chapter 9, the prophet there, he wrote some more words, and they're really meaningful at this time as they speak again of Jesus. So Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 say, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." And so again, I trust that looking into God's word has been an encouragement to you as we think about moving from darkness to light. So go and enjoy another Christmas light tour with your family this week. And when you go into those dark rooms, don't forget to turn on the light so that you can navigate your way through those rooms, or turn on that night light and be reminded of Jesus, the light of the world. So again, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and this week a Happy New Year. May you be encouraged in the Savior. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. We remember and celebrate this season, and we want to remember that throughout the year, this gift given the light of the world. Father, we feel the effects of darkness, of sin. Lord, we live in this. But thank you that you are there, that you are with us through whatever we face. We know that you promise your presence of light and of hope and of peace. Father, I just pray for each one listening to this, Lord, that we each would experience the light-filled life knowing Jesus, our Savior. But Father, that you would draw near, and that there would be others who could just draw near us in those times of darkness and be close. I pray that, Lord, for each one of us. Thank you as we remember you now with the way that you've asked us to do, and that we'll sing some songs of worship and praise to our great Savior. Thank you, Lord. You are a good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.